In Revelation chapter 10, beautiful chapter, we're about to hear the seventh trumpet sound. But before he does, we get a glimpse into the mystery of God accomplished. And there'll be no more delay. We're going to talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. We're in Revelation chapter 10. I want to welcome all of you who are listening on our podcast. Those of you that have joined us here on YouTube, thank you. As always, be sure and subscribe. Click on the bell, whatever you need to be able to be notified each time these teachings come out. Today, we're going to jump right into chapter 10. Reading from the NIV says, "Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud and a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down." Wow. I love this chapter. For several reasons, as we go through, you're going to see that Christ is revealed again. Now, this time, he's declared as a mighty angel, a strong angel. But we're going to see several reasons why this was Christ. One is that we heard with a loud voice, just like John did in chapter 1, when he said it sounded like a trumpet. The same descriptions as we go through this, you're going to see Jesus revealed as such. Now, don't take it strange that he's called a mighty angel or a strong angel, because throughout the Old Testament, there's several references where Jesus appears as the angel of the Lord. When he appeared to Moses in Exodus 3, when he appeared to Abraham in Genesis 22, another place is in Zechariah chapter 1, where he appears with the Father. So we see images of the Old Testament as Christ as the mighty angel or the angel of the Lord, or here, the strong angel. Now the fact that he's clothed in a cloud, as God is described in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 25 through 28, God is the only one who's ever clothed in a cloud. Now angels appear in the clouds. They may be a part of the clouds, but to be clothed in the cloud is only a description that is given to God or to Christ. And a rainbow above his head, that's the same thing that John saw over in Revelation chapter 4, when he says, when he saw him who sat on the throne, that like a rainbow, shone like an emerald, encircled the throne. It was the same as what John is seeing here. So we know that this is Christ because of that, as well as he describes his face was like the sun. Again, like in Revelation chapter 1, John says that his face was like the brilliance and the brightness of a noonday sun. So this has to be Jesus. This angel is holding a little book or a little scroll. This time it's called little, where the scroll that the Ancient of Days, or Father God, held in his right hand on the throne, and the Lamb, which was Jesus, came and took that scroll with writings on both sides. There's a difference. That scroll in Revelation chapter 5 was sealed. This little book is open. It was sealed because it was the last will and testament of Christ, that only he could be raised from the dead and be a witness of his own covenant and new covenant. This little book is the gospel. It's declaring the new covenant, and it's in his hand, and it's open to be seen and to be known. So he's making it known to the nations. It comes like a big roar of a lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah is sounding this declaration of the gospel. He places his right foot on the sea and he places his left foot on the land. Now throughout the scriptures, even in the book of Revelation, you're going to see references to the sea and the land. Later on in Revelation chapter 13, you're going to see a beast comes up out of the sea. That seas represents the Gentile nations of the world. And that beast that comes out of the sea is none other than Rome. The land is often referred to as Israel or the Palestine or the Holy Land, as we might call it today, or the land of Israel. So you'll see a beast come up out of the land. So the land and the seas are references, the seas as the Gentile nations and the land as the land of Israel. Not just here, but like in Isaiah chapter 60 is a good example of what can be called a parallelism. A parallelism is when the same truth is told in a different way, meaning the same thing as a parallel. Can I read it to you? It's talking about the light shining, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then it says in verse 5, the wealth on the seas will be brought to you. The seas referring to nations. How do we know that? Because the parallel words to that says, to you, the riches of the nations will come. Let me read that again. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come to you. So the seas means biblically the nations. So as this great mighty angel, which was Jesus, placed his foot on the seas, which be the Gentiles, the nations, and upon the land, we see the coming together through his covenant that he holds and declares as the gospel with the open book in his hand. He is the one that declares the roar that announces the union of both Gentiles and Jews in one new man. Now let's go through this because he roars, and when he roars, we hear the seven thunders. But we're not told what is written, or John is told, don't write what you heard the seven thunders say. Now that's interesting because when we see the word seal up something, as he was told here, seal up what the thunders say. Now, what John was told earlier in chapter 1, he said, the things you see, write. These are things about to take place. These are things that's going to happen. Write them down. They're at hand. Later on in Revelation 22, verse 10, he's told concerning this book of Revelation to not seal it up because the time is near. The reason that it would not be sealed up is because these were events happening in John's day. We know that because over in Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 12, Daniel is told to seal up the words of this prophecy until the time of them, which would be hundreds of years off. Their time was not near. So those prophecies were to be sealed up. John's were at hand. They can't be sealed up. So these thunders that were sounded, we're not told what they said. They were told to be sealed up or not written out, but to be sealed. Now, it wasn't a vision that was sealed. It was the thunders. Now, this thunders, the word of the Lord, this is God's word coming from his throne. Which, it's like God didn't want us to know what the thunder said, but he wanted us to know that John heard that and that he records that. See, there are some things that God, a lot of things God has chosen not to reveal to us as people. The secret things belong to the Lord. And what we have in the law is revealed to us that we might be his covenant people. But there are some things that are held. Now, this passage here is one of the reasons that we who are partial preterists believe as partial preterists and not full preterists. You may have heard me use that term. The word preterist simply means complete. So we look at the book of Revelation as it being complete. Now, we're partial preterists in that we don't believe all of it has been complete. We still believe there is a future return, bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ called the second coming. We believe there is a bodily resurrection to take place. As we walk through the book of Revelation, we'll point that out more clearly in chapter 20. However, full preterists believe that the second coming took place in the destruction of Jerusalem when Jesus came in judgment. We do believe that Jesus came in judgment because that's what Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and the book of Revelation is about. But we don't believe that the resurrection of the saints took place, nor do we believe that the literal coming of Christ took place then, that that's still future. And these seven trumpets are having something to do with the future because they were told, John was told to seal them. And so that's one of the reasons I think we have to be careful not to be told full preterists and say everything was fulfilled, because there are still some things that we are not told. And particularly here, that's what we see. Now let's keep reading here in verse 5 through 7 of the same chapter. It says, "Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets." Now, John shows us Christ's purpose in revealing himself as such, because as the angel lifted up his hand, Christ is swearing as a witness again and taking an oath that there would be no more delay. Delay in what? Delay in the judgments that were being announced through the trumpets. You see, you have the seven seals, which are a witness against apostate Israel. You have the seven trumpets, which are prophetic warnings of what's going to take place upon apostate Israel. And then we come later of the seven bowls or chalices of wrath that are the actual pouring out of those wraths that the trumpets warned us about, that the seals was a witness against. And there are about to be no more delay. That's what he says, no more delay. And the mystery of God is accomplished. Now that was accomplished at the cross, but the fulfillment of the reality of seeing among God's people through the judgments and the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Israel that we're going to read about further in the coming chapters here is clear that the mystery of God is accomplished. Now the mystery is not something that is hid, it's something that has been hidden in times past and is now being revealed. It's a revelation. The knowledge that God formerly withheld is no longer withheld. Now the mystery of God is told us throughout the epistles, particularly in Colossians and the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote about the mystery. And I love to read this because in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, "That is the mystery," talking about the mystery of God, "made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit of God to holy apostles and prophets." John says the same thing, that the time of the mystery is accomplished, that was not revealed before, but now is revealed by the servants and the prophets. Paul here says apostles and the prophets. Now verse 6, "The mystery is this, is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel." I love it. That is the book of Revelation. That is the gospel. That is the New and Old Testament. There are those who teach that Israel and the church are divided now and forever. No. We're one new man. The middle wall of division has been removed. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. It's one new creation. That is the good news. That's the mystery of God. The mystery of God is not the church. Some people think the mystery is the church, that God didn't plan on the church. He came to his own received him not. So he came up with plan B, a parenthesis. Now we're going to mess with the church for a period of time. And then when the church age is over, we're going to go back to the kingdom age. No. This is the fulfillment of the purposes of God, that Jews and Gentiles would be in one new creation. Oh, I know that there's physical Gentiles today, there's physical Jews today, but in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And that's what we see here when Paul says that the mystery is that the gospel, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers, glory to God, in the promise in Christ Jesus. That mystery was hidden in ages past, it says in Colossians chapter 1, but it's not now. This mystery is the union of believing Jews and Gentiles who have accepted Christ come together with no distinction. The mystery of God is a universalization of the kingdom of God that's accomplished through the preaching of the gospel. That's what we're seeing here in chapter 10. Let's keep reading. Verse 8 through 11. Then the voice that I'd heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. What is this? This is the gospel. For some, it is sweet because it is good news, and they fall on the rock. But there's some who reject it, and they're damned, and it's bitterness, and the rock falls on them. This is true with natural Israel, who had become the apostate Israel, who rejected the Christ. Among them, there were those of the 144,000, if you please, from every tribe, that it became sweet to. The gospel was sweetness to their soul. But there were those who rejected, and it became bitterness. This is similar to the prophecies that was given to Ezekiel in chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, in the beginning of chapter 3, where Ezekiel is told to take the scroll and eat it, and it would be sweet to his mouth. And he was to prophesy against Israel, a rebellious people who had ears to hear but could not hear. And he was declaring a similar thing that was taking place here. So we see that which is sweet are those who have received the gospel and are the new Israel of God. All this is complete, and because John is told, prophesy again. Prophesy to the nations, prophesy to the Gentiles, prophesy to the peoples and the many tongues and the kings. In other words, the gospel that you ate, that you tasted, that little book, prophesied out to all the nations of the world. Why? Because the mystery of God has been accomplished. The enemy has been defeated. We're seeing the working out of this beautiful picture of Christ coming in His first advent, in His death, His burial, His resurrection, and the purpose of the kingdom in the earth today. I love it. Thank you for joining us today in the Word.